So we have an official, how we pronounce his name? Is it Johan Duran or Johan Duran?
Johan.
Johan Duran.
So think of J-H-O is Joe and then A-N. Johan.
So here's where I'm at with Johan Duran if he's traded in the next 24 hours. A little bit more than 24 hours. A-B-P. Anybody but the Phillies. That would be such a great addition for the Phillies. They need the bullpen help. They're not going to have Alvarado for the playoffs. As a Met fan, the Mets are obviously going toe-to-toe with the Phillies. They still have seven games with them. That'd be a disaster. Send them to L.A., I'll laugh. Send them to the Yankees, I'll be happy for you guys. That's a great addition.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly protects yourself going into free agency. Same with any other American League team. But my prediction is he's going to end up with the Phillies. I think the Phillies need him the most. I really do.
Yeah.
I think they need him more. Now, the Mets are trying to build out their bullpen. And David Stearns' track record is not necessarily to trade big-time prospects for a reliever. It's more to take out kind of lottery tickets.
But a reliever you have control over and a reliever who protects you should Edwin Diaz get contentious with this renegotiation for his contract when and if he opts out. But it's also it's a move for the future that doesn't feel risky. Like signing a veteran pitcher who's 30 years old.
I agree. I think there's less risk with a reliever as proven as that. And if I'm Edwin Diaz's agent, I'd be hating a move like this because the Mets could stare down a Diaz opt-out and say, go find Leaf. We don't need to pay you $24 million a year. We're set at the closer's position. But both teams are linked to him. So we'll keep you posted because that would be a huge piece moved at the trade deadline in the next 28 hours. Now, the Mets are playing in an hour. We'll keep you posted on that game. They're going to try to avoid getting swept by the Padres after getting beat up last night. But one of the big concerns from last night was that Juan Soto fouled the ball off his foot, stayed in the game, and actually hit the ball really, really hard and grounded out, and then came out the following inning. He is not in the lineup today. Let's hear from the manager of the New York Mets concerning the status of Juan Soto.
Carlos, how's Soto feeling today?
Better, but still sore. Getting treatment. Let's see where we at. He hasn't done anything. He's in the training room. Hopefully, he gets in the cages and see if he's available or not for the game. But a little bit better.
So at this point, safe to say you guys are confident that you dodged a bullet in terms of a break or anything?
Yes. Also, right now, talking to Juan, just looking at his face and things like that, I think we dodged a bullet here.
Is it an issue putting pressure on the foot hitting, or is it more of a running thing, you think, or everything?
I mean, it's everything. I mean, last night, walking out of here, it was sore just to walk, So, and again, he hasn't done anything baseball activity related, So, we'll see what we got.
I know you can't predict the future, but even if he doesn't play today with the off day tomorrow, you think that could potentially be enough for him?
That's the hope. The hope that even if he's not a player for us today, that he could be in the lineup on Friday. So, but again, it's day to day. Let's get through today and see what we got.
Yeah, it sucked last night because as soon as he was taken out of the game, an inning later, bases loaded found his spot in the lineup.
Of course it
and
did.
And it turned into Starling Marte pinch hitting for Tyrone Taylor.
Right.
So you knew that would happen.
That tells you all you need to know about Tyrone Taylor, though, right?
It was weird. He put him in for an inning for defense and then immediately pinch hit for him. But it actually made sense because I think Mendy thought, I'm going to go to Tyrone Taylor. I'd rather not have Marte in the outfield. And then once a situation like bases loaded one out found him, obviously everything changed. Briefly on the Mets before they play their game today. Yesterday was just the epitome of them. Now, they couldn't get a big hit. They had plenty of scoring opportunities against the pitcher. They should have beaten up. They didn't do it. They got a really good outing out of Sean Manaea, who wanted to go deeper into the game. Mendy wouldn't allow it. And then the bullpen was terrible. And worst of all, Mendy allowed the bullpen to be terrible. Because once Jose Buteau is struggling, you don't have to leave him in to try to get six outs. You don't have to do that.
Unless you're worried about the short turnaround to play an afternoon game.
That's what he was doing.
Of course, that's what he was doing.
But the problem with that is you basically gave last night's game away. So while saving your bullpen for today, and who knows what this game looks like, you Darvish against Clay Holmes, you hurt yourself on the previous night. And that's where the Mets need more bullpen arms.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because in baseball, because there's 162 games, I think you just have to accept that sometimes.
I have.
You just have to.
I'm accepting. I'm not happy about it.
No, you don't have to be happy about it, but you just have to accept it and not make a big deal about it.
Yeah, well.
Because, I can't imagine how hard for Mendy or any of these managers in Major League Baseball to think 3, 4, 5 days in advance and not compromise a game ahead because you're worried about what's going to happen in this game and your bats are quiet. And they've got to come alive. Like, Last year's Mets, I could see it because they had a propensity to just storm back at the end of games. This year's Mets, I don't see that.
Yeah, but you can't manage because you don't trust your team to come back.
Once in a while, you got to just say, all right, we're punting.
Well, that's what he did, essentially. And now they play today, and they have an off day tomorrow. And so the Mets, who had a 7-game winning streak, blow a 5-1 lead, and now they're on the verge of getting swept by the San Diego Padres. Right. But we'll see.
By the way, that's what gives you the license to do it. You had a 7-game winning
streak. No, I gotcha. They're leading the division down to a half game, and they're facing a guy in Yu Darvish who has stunk this season, but Yu Darvish kills the Mets. So my expectation, if you want real talk an hour before first pitch, Mets are going to lose today. Darvish will dominate, and the Mets are going to have a 3-game winning streak. A 3-game losing streak going into the weekend against the Giants and then the Guardians. I hope I'm wrong, though. I don't want to be right. I'm just being honest with you guys. Let's go to Chris in Bayshore. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hey, guys. A couple of things. On the Volpe thing, I think a couple of calls ago when his uncle called, I mean, to say that he's not a liability right now is not being fair. But to be fair, I agree. I think he's probably hurt because he's just literally thumbing the ball over to first base. It's, you can tell.
Right.
And so something's definitely up. But definitely, you could tell Boone, too, the same thing. I agree. He's definitely getting a little bit, you know, tired of the whole thing, but and his swing is it's just a home run swing. It's not a contact swing.
The question I have with Boone getting frustrated, and we played the clip a little bit earlier, you could rewind on the Odyssey app, is he frustrated at Volpe?
He's just frustrated because he's getting asked the question
exactly
every single day.
Exactly. So is he frustrated at Volpe or is he frustrated with the question? I'm sick of answering these questions.
I think he's frustrated at Volpe that he has to keep answering these questions and defending him. I think that was last night. That was that, I can't believe I have to do this again, and Volpe's not helping.
Right. Can you get your head out of your ass, Anthony? I'm tired of answering questions for you about you.
Makes my life easier if you make some freaking plays. Mm-hmm. Frank's in Syosset. Good afternoon today, Frank.
Evan, Sean, Tiki, hello.
All's good.
Hello.
Congratulations, Tiki, hooking up with the guys. I call the post-game show. They know football.
Yeah,
like
most
you.
Certainly. Thank you, bro.
Yeah. I got to ask you something, Tiki, as the next player. You struggled with fumbling.
100%.
And you shared that with us, and you found a resolution for it.
Right.
So I think the whole team, the big change came with the 18-2 loss against the Dodgers. Then they went to Boston, and they got embarrassed. And then they gave up the first place. They gave up first place up in Toronto. And I think the whole team has been pressing. And I think he's pressing. As Yogi said, 90% of the game is half mental. you had to deal. I was just wondering, if from your perspective, did you have to deal with any insecurity or confidence?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Okay.
Right? The problem was, and this is, I think, Volpe's issue. It was my problem. It's now Volpe's issue, is that you can't change it in the middle of the season. Whatever mental or mechanical, for me, it was purely mechanical. It was literally how I carried the football. But for Volpe, I think it's a process about going through the motions and doing it without thinking. At this point, he's thinking, right? It's why, you know, we always say this in football, it's a cliche. You practice and you practice and you practice and you grind and you're hard, and it's hard, so that when you get in the game, you don't think. You just react. You know what's going to happen and you just react. I think Volpe is caught in the thinking process. But to correct that, it's almost impossible in the middle of a season. It took me an entire offseason to change how I carried the football. But you talk about games where things are going great for you, but also horrible for you. I had that game in 2002 against the Eagles. At the end of the regular season, we outgained them by 250 yards. I rushed for 200 yards, but I had 3 fumbles.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the only reason it was a game was because of me. But the reason that we were leading was also because of me.
Right.
And so it was one of those. I feel for Anthony Volpe.
That was last night, like you said.
And it's emotional, right? You get emotional knowing I know I'm good, but I suck.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's just admitting it. And it lets you, like, let that hubris go away, and all of a sudden, you kind of are open to different ideas or different way of doing things.
He brought up something kind of interesting. Like, if you go back to May 29th, May 30th, which is what he mentioned. He mentioned the Dodgers series. You guys remember that series in L.A.? The Yankees ended up getting, they lost 2 out of 3, including getting embarrassed on a Saturday night. They lost 18-2, also the night that the New York Knicks were eliminated from the postseason.
Yeah.
So it was a very...
We buried the Yankee game that night.
You did. It's a very special night. Yankees lose 18-2. Knicks get eliminated by the Indiana Pacers. he's not wrong. I'm not saying because of confidence, but the numbers are the numbers. The Yankees went to L.A. on May 30th, 35-20, up by 7 games in the American League East. Since that point, obviously, they are no longer in first place, but their record is 23-29. And that's a big sample size.
Right.
And so he mentioned, yeah, go back to that Dodgers series. It really killed their confidence. I don't know if it's their confidence, but how do you explain that being the line of demarcation between the Yankees having a really good start to where they are now, which for a third of a season has been bad?
What else happened? Injury, unavailabilities? What else happened?
Not really that much because... Who got hurt in that period of time? No one really. No one jumps out at me. Luis Hill hasn't been here all year. Gerrit Cole hasn't been here all year.
Right.
The King Judge injury is more recent.
Jazz came back?
I think he came back soon after that.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, like, and this is a common thing over the Yankees over the last few years where they get off to these great starts and then go through the malaise. So it just may be baseball. Like, the answer to this may be, yeah, it's baseball. It happens. But they were 35-20. They were 7 games up. They go to L.A., and that's the line of demarcation where the season has kind of been baddish since then. How do you explain it?
I don't know. You can't. It's baseball. And I wish I knew it inside and out.
Is it as simple, though, as what our caller said, which is they lost 18-2 to the team they lost to in the World Series and it killed their confidence? Is it as simple as that?
No, because I don't think this is a team that lacks confidence.
Mm.
I think they're lacking in fundamentals sometimes defensively, but that's not why they're losing a lot of these games. It's frustrating to us to watch Jazz not a routine grounder to second, not be able to get the ball out of his glove and flip it over to Goldie. It's the Volpe errors. It's the bad angles the balls in the outfield that we saw Belly make, or even Jason Dominguez. Like it's all of those things. And so I can't help to go back to what I said earlier in the week, that this feels like a lack of accountability. And it's okay when you make this mistake because your manager's not going to scream at you.
Right.
So it's just like, all right, whatever. I'll be better tomorrow. You know what I mean?
No, I get you.
And sometimes you need to be yelled at.
Right.
Sometimes you need to be told about yourself. And I don't know if that happens enough.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Evan. I just wanted to talk about Volpe, too. Everybody's made good points, too, but... And I've been hearing it for weeks now. Send him down to the minors with where he is mentally, from a mental aspect. Wouldn't sending him down to the minors just break him even more?
Maybe.
And even the last caller said it. His swing, he tries to hit a home run every time. If he just hits one into the gap, he's got enough speed to lead the league in doubles and triples. And
if to your point, sending him down, which I would not do. Just for the record. But if they sent him down and it broke his confidence, I mean...
Then who is he, actually?
Then who is he?
I agree.
Like, I think Francisco Alvarez's response to being sent down to the minors is why he's got a chance to be a real good player in this league.
Yeah, because Francisco Alvarez is that dude. Take a couple days. No, I'm going today.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm going to work on it and get right. He's that dude. He wants to be great. I mean, that's part of it. I talk about it all the time in sports and particularly football players because it's so easy to just cruise once you've... quote unquote, made it. That's either as a rookie or a guy who signs a big contract after 4 or 5 years. But if you want to be great, you got to grind.
Yeah, damn right.
All the damn time. And I think Francisco Alvarez is a grinder. Cares about it.
I'm playing a game with you. All right. I want to play for you a question that was asked of Anthony Volpe last night. So we're going to play the question. Don't play the answer. I cut it up for you, Thomas. It's just the question and then the answer. We're going to hear the question from Volpe. I want you to tell me how he should answer it.
Okay.
And then we'll listen to his actual
answer. Let's hear it.
You like that game?
I do.
We call it Tiki Knows How to Answer Questions from the Media. That's not really that catchy of a name. We may have to work on it.
Yeah, that one didn't work.
I tried. Here is the question that was asked to Anthony Volpe.
After a night like this, where there's a couple of errors, but you contribute offensively, you win the game, you go home, are you thinking about the errors and mad about that? Are you saying, hey, we won the game. I helped the team win the game with a bat. What's the mindset when we leave here?
So that's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are Anthony Volpe. How would you answer that?
I'm cutting him off right away. Ooh. I'm saying, yeah, I was good, but I also sucked. I made a mistake, multiple, and I got to be better with that. Consistency is what wins, and I need my guys to count on me consistently in order for us all to win. That's what I would say.
Do you think Volpe said that?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is the response from Anthony Volpe.
I mean, tonight I'm just going to go home, watch my videos, prepare for tomorrow, and once I go to bed, it's over. And once we'll get to work tomorrow once she gets to the ballpark.
You like that answer or not really?
It just sounds like he doesn't care.
Hmm. And you know he does care.
That bothers me a little bit.
Oh, you really?
Yeah, because it sounds like he doesn't care.
Huh.
I think here's the issue. A lot of athletes, especially in this town, because of how much media there is, they tend to not be real, right? They tend not to tell you what they're actually feeling. They want it to be over with. But the problem with doing that is that when you kind of dismiss a question, you leave it unanswered.
Right.
And so it's going to get asked again, and it's going to get asked again and again and again and again. And eventually, you're going to get so annoyed with being asked the same question because you didn't answer it the first time that you're going to start getting pissed off. And so your answers are not going to be like benign and not caring. They're going to be adversarial. And what you're actually doing is talking to the fan.
Right.
You're talking specifically to a media member, but you're also talking to the fan. And so like apathy is not okay in sport, especially not in New York. You have to, it's an emotional sport. The fans are emotional about it. We know that you're emotional about it. You can see his emotion on his face. Hits a 450-foot home run. It was awesome. He was at the highest he could possibly be in. Helped the Yankees win the game last night. You see him double clutch and short hop it to Goldie. You could also see it. But then he tells us, I'm just going to go home and chill. Yeah. We know that's not true.
Mm.
So, like, just speak it, man. Speak it. It's all good. It doesn't matter. They're not going to cut you for saying, I sucked or right. We sucked or whatever. Just be real.
I didn't realize when I pulled the clip that he was going to be pulled to the principal's office. Tiki did not like that. I didn't know. I listened to it and I was like, I'm not sure how you're supposed to answer it sometimes, but I'm very intrigued by what you had to say.
But that's the 162. That's 162 mentality.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be out there tomorrow.
You know, I try, and I think we all should enjoy wins. The Yankees won last night.
Right.
The Mets lost last night. You don't want to get too down on losses, too excited about wins. The one thing that sticks in my brain, and it's the Yankees' fault. The Yankees did this to me last year. Remember how it ended with the bad defense?
Unfortunately.
Even if that's not the reason the Yankees lost the World Series, it's a huge contributing factor. And we sat there in the days and the weeks after the Yankees lost the World Series saying we should have known. This was an issue all year. Mm-hmm. Why are we surprised? And so now, I'll use a Met and Yankee example. When the Mets win, but they go 2-for-11 with runners in scoring position, I say to myself, dude, I'm so glad they won, but doesn't it feel like this is going to be their death sentence?
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing with Volpe and the Yankee defense. Mm. Like, even when they win, there's a part of you in the back of your mind that says, I love the win, it's great, but you just kind of feel like it's going to end badly, and when it does, it's going to be this, and we should have known. Like, the Met hitting with runners in scoring position has been a problem all year.
Right.
And there are games in which they win despite it. I mean, it happens a lot. And I don't want to take the joy away from winning because you won, just like the Yankees last night. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, I know that when it ends, however it ends, wherever it ends, we're going to think back to the issue that plagued the team all year long that sometimes you got away with, but ultimately you couldn't get
right.
away with.
You want to be wrong about it. The last thing you want is to be right about it.
And welcome to the dark side, Evan.
But can I give you the team that makes me fight this?
Okay.
It's football, the Indianapolis Colts. And I want to walk you through the 2006 Indianapolis Colts. I know. How did I get there? You'll hear. Oh, you love the football analogy.
I do.
The Indianapolis Colts, and you can fact check me on the numbers here, Sean, couldn't stop the run. Couldn't stop it all year. Couldn't do it. And then come playoff time, they stopped the run.
Right.
So the bugaboo that killed them all year that we thought, oh, they can't get through the post, they can't stop the run, eventually turned into their strength. And so is it possible that the Yankees get to the playoffs and play clean defense? Is it possible that the Mets get to the playoffs and hit 552 with runners in scoring position? I guess it's possible. At least you hope that. But in the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, the bugaboos from the 162 will eventually kill you. Even over the best of five or the best of seven.
Right.
Matt is calling from Northport. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Last time I spoke to you, you might remember I was talking about how it kind of stinks that the trading deadline wasn't moved back to accommodate more teams in the postseason, and that makes
yes.
a seller's market for a handful of teams. So I thought of a way the Mets could usurp that, because I'm hearing, you know, if I see them trade Vientos for Luis Robert, I'll throw up. So why don't they could approach one of these, like, bubble teams or even a team that's in it, like Detroit, and say, look at what we have excess. Look at what they have excess. Maybe we can find a partner where nobody's, like, out of it selling off, but we can take one of our excess, take someone else's excess, and kind of don't let those seller teams rip you off, but instead find another team that's in the chase and
yes.
kind of find a
partner. It's something I brought up a lot last year as, like, an idea, because you do have a lot of teams that are not giving in.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's too many or not enough sellers and too many buyers, how does that work? So can you find another buyer where your strength meets their weakness and their weakness meets your strength, or vice versa, where a deal matches up? So, like, the Astros want one of the Mets infielders. They're also talking about Carlos Correa, which we'll get into in a little bit. Is it possible that the Mets could get one of their better relievers for one of their bats? In theory, it makes a lot of sense. I brought this up with the Mets and the Yankees, and I know that they don't necessarily make trades together, but the Mets had a surplus of infielders. The Yankees didn't until they obviously made the trades they made, and they had outfielders. So I think in theory it makes a lot of sense, but are we going to see it? Like, are we going to see
yeah.
those kinds of competitive trades?
Like the win-win trade.
Yeah, they're rare. I remember 1 year ago when the A's got Yoenis Cespedes, not the Met version, where it was John Lester for Yoenis Cespedes. You guys remember yeah. that one? That was weird.
Yeah.
So it kind of happens.
And it's win-win in real time, not win-win one guy is winning now because it's helping him pursue and get into the postseason. The other is winning 3 years from now.
Yes.
The prospect comes up and, I don't know, does whatever he does. When it's hard. Because if that guy's going to help someone else win, why isn't he helping you win?
Right. Well, it would be like in the Mets case, Mark Vientos for
right.
a reliever. But you got to match up. Like, how many competitive teams are willing to trade a reliever? I brought one up to you guys recently with the Yankees. We talked about how I don't think the Yankees should sell. I think that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But they could do that. Like, they could call up the Padres, who are currently playing Luis Arraez at first base, and say, you know what? Padres could use a first baseman, or at least they could have more flexibility. Arraez could play second. They could use Goldie. Would a Goldschmidt for one of the many good Padre reliever deals work? And I mentioned Wandy Peralta as an option, maybe Adrian Marjon, whoever you want to go with. Like, could that kind of deal work? I just don't know if it's going to happen. By the way, my Colts analogy, just to give you some more football on this. They not only were dead last in rushing yards allowed that year, they allowed 100 yards on the ground in every single regular season game. In fact, the lowest total was 111. They allowed over 200 yards on the ground three times. And then one time they allowed 375 yards on the ground.
Jeez.
During the postseason. You ready for this?
375 yards on the ground?
Yeah, to the Jaguars, huh? Isn't that crazy?
Who was that?
Fred Taylor back then?
Yeah. Yeah, it had to be.
Had to be. 2006.
Yeah.
So that's how bad they were. Dead last in the league. Postseason time. They played the Kansas City Chiefs. They allowed a combined total of rushing yards in their first game, 44. Second game against Baltimore, 83.
Oh, nice.
Third game against New England, 93. Under 100 in every game. And then finally in the Super Bowl, they allowed 111. So they allowed fewer yards in postseason games than they did in any regular season game. And that's why am I bringing this up? I'm bringing this up because maybe, despite the Met issues with runners in scoring position and the Yankees issues with overall defense,
yep.
maybe magically in October it becomes a strength.
Maybe. Maybe.
Or not.
Or unlikely.
But that's why, like, the 2006 Colts have, like, this weird place in my heart.
Yeah.
Where
just the one example that you can find where just because you suck at one thing in the regular season, you can be good when it matters.
You don't think I can find another one?
I'm sure you can, but.
In fact, I could find one. In fact, what if I told you it's the New York Giants?
2011,
run on the football.
Only team in NFL history to win a Super Bowl and be the worst rushing team all season.
Thank you, Sean. See? You were speaking my language. How about that? I gave you a giant example now. Sean and I both did, like, as a team.
Yes.
They were dead last and running the football.
Who did they play in that postseason?
Atlanta, Green Bay, San Francisco, and the Patriots. First game against Atlanta, they went for 172 yards. There was not a game that season in which they ran for nearly as many yards. What up? Mm-hmm. So what does this all prove?
There are two examples.
Yeah, proves outliers are outliers for a reason.
Well, exactly. Proves football's football. Maybe that's what it proves. We'll come back with your phone calls at 888-808-1019. I know that starting a few days ago, everybody was watching Happy Gilmore 2 to check it out. And I gave you my review on Monday. I thought it was good. I thought it was great. I thought it was fine. Wasn't as good as the original. I didn't belly laugh. Wasn't a disaster. It was a fine, fine movie. I had no idea. And I just found out in the last 12 hours, I did research to make sure it was true, that not only did Adam Sandler come out with Happy Gilmore 2, which we're all consuming or we're about to consume on Netflix, he's coming out with Wedding Singer 2.
Huh.
Did you know about this?
I didn't know about this, but now that you say it, it makes sense.
Which part makes sense?
The fact that he's coming out with another sequel to one of his other iconic movies. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
He has a long-term deal with Netflix.
Oh, no. I know he has a long-term deal with Netflix. Right? It is all Netflix.
Yes. So he's just finding the things that worked and then redoing them in a different way. Obviously, they're watchable. But instead of doing it in a movie theater where it has to be successful,
right,
you put it on Netflix.
Yeah, your bar.
It lives there for a while. And eventually, people who like Adam Sandler are going to find it.
Your bar for success, I guess, is lower if it's already on a streaming service?
Yes.
Here's my fear. I'm not like anti-sequel by any stretch of the imagination, because some sequels are great. Like, some are. But the success rate on sequels is low. And The Wedding Singer is such a, like, to me, if we were ranking Sandler movies, that's towards the top for me.
Yeah.
I go back and forth between that and Big Daddy as my all-time favorite.
Is Drew also in it?
Barrymore? Yes. Yes. So I found out what it's about. Like, I got the plot. I read the plot. Because I was like, hold up. You want to hear the plot?
Tell us.
Not unless it says somebody dies in the first 3 minutes, in which case, hold back.
First of all.
Nobody gave that away.
No one gave that away. Oh. I never even talked. Did I talk about death?
No, you
didn't. No, you told this moron off the air. What did I tell you?
Well, he watched it. So he
yesterday.
I did not tell this moron off the air. He found out off the air.
That's what it was. And you confirmed it.
He told me off the air.
We didn't say who died.
I don't mind the spoiler.
You know what, Sean? If you could not exist, that would be great.
Sure,
can
you work on that first? Hold on. You said on the air, somebody dies in the first 3 minutes.
No.
Hold on.
You did not.
I did not. I said there's a major plot twist early in the movie that I'd like to address. Tommy, Tiki, all of you said, don't do it yet. And I respected that.
Give it a week. Till next Monday.
Yeah, give it a week.
Right. You're the one who found that on your own and then saw the movie, good for you, who then proceeded to say in the last minute, someone died. I never mentioned anybody died. Never mentioned it.
My bad.
You know what, Tommy? No biggie.
Yeah, I just don't understand how you could be wired to do something like that. And, like, why would you say that? Like, what would make you say
no?
I know it's intentional, but either you're a jerk, which we know, or you're just an idiot, which we know.
Am I a jerk and an idiot?
Why would you give that up? What would make you say that? Like, what goes through the... everything we know goes to your stomach. So let's start with the brain thing here, the other big part of your body. What would make you think... I know a movie that a lot of people want to see that's only been out for a couple hours that Evan had an issue with in the first 3 minutes. You took what he said and just spoiled it. So why don't you just tell us at this point now? Because we already know.
I'm not doing it.
I'm not going to do it.
That's Sean's thing. If he wants to do it.
I don't like the words you called me. I don't like it. I made a mistake. I thought that was what we revealed, but we didn't reveal who.
Why would Evan reveal that, though?
I was very careful when I said there was a plot twist early in the movie I did not like. I asked you guys, should I say it? And you all voted me down, so I respected that.
Right.
Yeah. I thought it was who died. I'm sorry. Somebody's dead in the first 3 minutes.
I'm sorry. Sorries don't matter. Sorries don't bring us back in time when we didn't know the spoilers.
I also didn't know he was about to bring up Wedding Singer 2. You act like I pre-prepared to give away something from Happy Gilmore.
I know, but why would you... I guess it's one of those things where, let's just say, like,
Why would you pretend to be positive when everything's not positive?
If your buddy goes, hey, listen, my wife and I were pregnant, don't say anything. Why would you even get close? If you don't know that Evan for sure said that, why would you go ahead and say that? And not at the water cooler on WFN radio, where billions of people just heard it. Like, sometimes don't cut it in life.
I feel bad.
Oh, you feel bad now. That's great.
Why did I say it? Because I thought it was already said. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to the audience because they're probably annoyed right now. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to watch it, but I mean, for everyone else, I'll watch it at some point.
The wife's in it the rest of the movie anyway. I mean,
what?
She's in it the rest of the movie anyway.
Stop giving away things about the movie.
We just did this.
No, I never said anybody died. I gave my overall opinion on cameos and if it was funny. I didn't give storylines away. Now I will give you, if you're interested, back to this.
Yes.
Do you want to hear the plot for Wedding Singer 2?
Tell me.
Okay. It's set in the mid-90s. Let's start with that.
Because the original was...
In the
80s. 80s, right.
So when I heard there was a sequel, and I digested it, this had to happen. Because part of the charm of Wedding Singer was 80s and all the 80s references and the 80s hairdos and the 80s music. So you can't bring it back in the 2000s. It's got to be in the 90s.
Yeah, so
perfect.
I haven't seen Adam Sandler. Oh, I did see Adam Sandler because he was in a picture with some friends of mine recently. Can he pull off the 80s? I mean, the 90s.
Yeah, why not?
Does he look aged? That's the question.
Oh, is he going to look too aged?
Yes.
Well, what year did The Wedding Singer come out? Like 1999-ish? Around there?
Because Happy Gilmore was 96.
And this was after?
This was a couple years after.
Okay, so hear me out. So you're looking for a 25-year difference. If that movie was early 80s, let's say 1983, this is 1998. Oh, no, wait, that's only 15 years. Damn it! You're right. The age, the timing of it doesn't fit.
That's a great point. Whoever the makeup artist is probably going to have their work cut out for him. You know, Drew looks fantastic.
Yeah, no, she does, and I think even he looks decent. I think that the 90s is the best way to make it funny, charming for us, especially if you're of that age. Like, I get the time discrepancy. I agree with the 90s stuff. Bottom line is Robbie and Julia, that's the main characters, are running a successful wedding business called Two Hearts. Remember, it's Robbie Hart?
Yep.
A chaotic wedding gig threatens to unravel their business, forcing them to work together to save the day. Expect a blend of 80s throwbacks, 90s chaos, a killer soundtrack, and plenty of laughs. If you're asking what I'm reading this from, it's called AI. So I assume it's accurate.
Probably not.
But it's probably not. So if that's the storyline, I got to tell you, it's not half bad.
No, it's not. The question is, will it actually be that? Now, most people that are listening to us are going to not want to watch it, but I'll watch it.
You really think most people wouldn't want to watch it?
Yeah. Because it's just, it's not modern, and it's not going to come out in a theater. They're going to happen upon it.
But you saw the excitement for Happy Gilmore. Now, I respect that my opinion is not the majority's opinion. I think if you ask most people the best Sandler movie, it's probably Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison. Mm-hmm. Is that like a fair?
Yes, I would agree. Yes.
Okay, I totally respect that. Wedding Singer's probably on that next rung, even if it's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think there'll be a lot of people who just love Sandler who's going to be like, I can't wait to see it, right?
Right. Now I got to go back and watch The Wedding Singer because I haven't seen it in forever.
So I'm going to tell you a secret about that.
What's that?
This is a true story. So about 3 weeks ago, me and my wife wanted to watch The Wedding Singer. And we used, like a lot of people, so maybe cliched, we used I Want to Grow Old With You as our wedding song. So for us, you know, very a beautiful meaning. So we go to watch the movie. We cannot find it.
Okay.
Can't find it anywhere. Doesn't exist. And I'm like, man, I can't pay for this on Amazon. Like, we have every service. And my wife looks at me and says, I got good news, baby. You keep everything, right? I said, yeah, I keep a lot of stuff. She's like, when we were dating, you had this on DVD. I ran into our TV room, and there it was, right next to the history of WrestleMania and the history of the World Series, The Wedding Singer. So I watched it on DVD. I put it in the PlayStation. I hit the controller. It was perfect. It was great. I've watched the DVD in years. So if you're going to look to watch it, you may have to borrow Uncle Evan's DVD.
Well, I don't know if I have a DVD player.
Come on, T.
I swear to you.
You don't have a PlayStation?
No, my kids took it.
Oh, man.
My boys are grown-ups now. They're in college.
So your DVD list, if I gave you one?
It's on Tubi.
What the hell? Oh, that's the one with the commercials,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. So I can watch it on Tubi.
You can watch. You got to sit through commercials.
Right.
He also, 2 days ago, gave an interview and was asked about Wedding Singer 2.
Yes.
And
you have the audio? Let's listen.
It's just the transcript.
Oh, crap.
All right. Yeah, I'd like to see it. That'd be fun. I'd love to do that if people were interested.
Wait, so I'm reading it's coming to Netflix in September of 2025.
You fell for something fake.
It's you. Not real.
No. I told you, AI.
I have literally a whole transcript. There was a whole, like,
are you sure that's not fake?
No, this is legitimate. Yeah.
My sister sent an image of it. I then fact-checked it to make sure it was true, and I just read this whole thing about the plot line, even though it was AI.
Nope.
You're telling me it's not confirmed to happen?
Nope. The one that it seems to be pushing that people are asking him to do now that Happy Gilmore 2 is out is Wedding Singer 2.
I disagree. I'm looking at the internet.
Oh, you're looking at the internet, then it must be accurate.
I mean,
would never be a fake trailer that was put out there.
Isn't it possible that what he's reading is the fake stuff, Tommy?
I'm reading the same stuff. But we're also all going by the internet. And I feel a tiki lecture coming on here. This is the internet. Who knows what's going on? I've watched trailers for movies that were fake. And I thought they were coming out.
AI.
But can you call someone from Netflix, Teak? You know everybody.
I actually do know somebody from Netflix.
Thank you. Can you just find out if this is real or not? Because I'm finding a lot of evidence on the internet that it's real, but he's saying he's reading an interview, which Adam says, yeah, we haven't
even
done that.
I have Drew Barrymore 30 days ago being asked about this on her own show.
And what'd she say?
You want the audio?
Oh, you got the audio? Better. Let me hit it.
All right, let's go.
Sandler is sending you a message saying that he wants to grow old with you. And we want to grow old with you, by the way. Mm. We love you.
I love you.
And also, are you guys making another movie together?
You know, I think so as far as I know so. That's a yes. And it's a matter of like when. But I don't think it'll be too long because we've always done everything every 10 years. And we're running out of time. We're past 10 years at this point.
Yeah, it's time.
And we're together all the time. His wife, Jackie, is my dear friend. Sonny and Sadie hang out with Olive and Frankie, our daughters. And we're constantly seeing each other, you know, and hanging out. So I think it's always a matter of, like, what is it?
she's just obscuring. That's all that is.
So is it happening or not happening?
I think it is happening. I think she's obscuring.
Okay.
So is the September of 2020, September of 2025 is like in 2 months.
The only problem is that they've done a million movies together, so they could be doing a movie together, just not The Wedding Singer 2. Or, we don't have concrete evidence that they are.
But I think it's on the table that they filmed it and they're keeping it a secret.
Oh, she's kayfabe in there.
But I think it's on the table that this is happening, because September of 2025, dude, is in a month.
Yeah.
Like, that this is done, and they're all kayfabing the crap out of us, because unlike movies where they got to promote it, it's Netflix. It's like, I got a surprise for you.
Yeah, but you can want to get subs on, I know Netflix is an OG, everybody has it, but when you want subs, like, when did we first find out about Happy Gilmore 2? I feel like for a while.
I think it was about a year ago, because I remember talking about it on the air. Here's the bottom line. Whether that is what's happening or not, Tiki Barber, I'm done with the internet. Can you call your guy at Netflix or gal at Netflix and just tell us if it's happening or not.
Yeah, I'll find out.
Thank you. Because I'm sick of AI trying to fool us all.
The only thing I keep saying is a fake Facebook post about it.
All right.
No, that's the problem. It's all Facebook posts.
Yeah. My sister's now mad at me because she's listening, and she says, you didn't believe me that The Wedding Singer 2 was coming out? And I wrote back, well, we don't even know if it is. Don't mock me. Yeah, we still don't know.
I also have several people in my timeline telling me that Boomer and Geo spent a half an hour discussing that scene in the first 3 minutes of Happy Gilmore.
Well, that's their job. If they want to spoil it, that's on them.
Correct. So we are in the clear.
No, we're not. Hold on a second. Let me get something clear. They could do whatever the hell they want. Like, I asked you guys, can I spoil the first thing? You guys all said no. Mm-hmm. Maybe what happened there is Geo said, hey, can I spoil the first thing? And Boomer's like, oh, well, I don't care, say it. And they chose to do that. That audience found out. Whether they're mad about it or happy about it, that's for them.
They may have said spoiler alert.
Maybe.
Before they said it, too.
So when I asked if I should say it, all of you guys, and I respect you, said don't spoil it. I chose not to.
Right.
Just because they did it doesn't mean you're okay.
Yeah,
for
you don't want to be the spoiler.
Yes. Yes.
I agree with you. I didn't want to be the spoiler.
But you were, so stop quoting the Boomer and Geo.
And if Boomer and Geo robbed the bank, would that make it okay for, what is it, just because they do something, we then can do it? That's a ridiculous way to get out of something.
Like saying, hey, Boomer said Aaron Judge without saying King, he owes money. Right. No, they don't have to follow that.
Right.
That's what we're doing. So we decided yesterday or 2 days ago not to spoil it, and you spoiled it. Stop spinning. You spoiled it.
Now, really,
you're unbelievable.
To be fair, as much as Sean's in fault here, you're at fault as well, Evan, because it really all started with you. By you bringing it up at all on the air, which I told you not to do, it created an algorithm, right, Sean, on your Twitter, and you saw the spoiler. So if you not just kept your mouth shut, which is what we implored you to do, this would have never happened. And I said, once it gets to Marash's brain, it's going to get to those lips on the air. And then that's what happened here. Ultimately, you should have kept your mouth shut.
Here's where I disagree with you.
Okay.
Happy Gilmore 2 is kind of the talk of the town.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay. So we all know it was out there. Some people didn't see it. They're totally fine. Maybe they were too busy. They didn't get to it.
Right.
It was the talk of the town. I felt it was, you know, timely to at least say, hey, I saw it. Here's my review, without giving away spoilers. Mm-hmm. I can at least mention, hey, there are some things in it. I'm not going to spoil you, but there are things in it
that you didn't like.
Right. Otherwise, why talk about the movie? And if we're not talking about the movie, I think that would be people cared about it. So I disagree with you. Just blame Sean. Go back to calling him
fat. I think I blame both of you.
No,
Evan is like, You're a, what do they call that when you're part of a crime? You're like a, what do they call that?
An accessory.
You're an accessory to his crime.
Aiding and abetting.
Tiggy.
Yes.
Did I commit any crime on this man?
No, you did nothing.
Thank you.
Okay, you're exonerated. Sean, you're just an awful
Sean did.
Sean did. I did nothing. Man.
Tommy's going to watch it in October and still not want spoilers.
That's true. About a year from now, I'll watch it.
Let's go to Tim in West Islip. What's up, Tim?
Hello, guys. Love the show.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking my call. No problem. I'm calling about Sean spoiling your surprise of Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Like, come on, Sean, man. I mean, you guys all agreed the other day. Everyone was going to do it a week from Monday. What is that, August 11th?
Yep.
By that time, I hopefully will have seen it. But now I'm ruined. All right, so I know I don't know who, but somebody is taking a dirt nap, and I don't know who it is. And
well, he kind of told me that too.
I don't know.
No, well, he kind of did. But
I mean, guys, it's also again, we're not talking about Clockwork Orange here.
Here's what I would tell you. Well, that's for you to. That's for the people to decide. I would say that you committed a crime against movie manity.
Mm.
And last year you committed a crime against sports manity, and your suspension for that was missing Giants camp.
Uh-oh.
I just received a text message from bosses around here that said maybe Sean's penalty should be missing Giants camp for a second straight year.
Well, free day off? Sounds good to me.
It'd be a free day off, but it would also mean no Abdul Carter for Sean.
And no Jackson Dart.
No Jackson Dart for Sean. No Malik Nabers for Sean. These are the people that are joining the show. I'm kind of promoting tomorrow's show.
Yeah.
No Cam Scataboo for Sean.
Scat, yeah.
I mean,
that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's too harsh, personally.
I agree. I wouldn't vote for that. Here's my counter thing. If you ban me from Giants camp, I'm turning on this microphone every day for the next 30 days and spoiling a new television show and or movie at my choosing.
You chose violence here.
But what you're doing is you're
nuclear option. Come on, Sean.
And his nuclear bomb.
Fight fire with fire.
You're not hurting Tiki. You're not hurting me. You're not hurting Lugie. You're hurting the audience.
Exactly.
Every time you spoil a show that I'm probably not watching and Tiki's probably not watching,
right.
You're just pissing off Larry, who had a hard day at work.
You know what? I will then hire somebody to break into your house, Evan, set up a Ring camera in your TV room, and every time I know you're starting the Mets on delay and I see it appear on that Ring camera that's hidden, I will then shout through the microphone on it. The score is 3-2, Evan. It is in the sixth inning, and I will spoil every Met DVR game from here on through the rest of the season.
Now that's violence.
That is violence.
That's too much.
By the way, that would be impressive if you could pull that off.
I would be impressed, though, yes. It would just force me to watch games on time. That's all I would do. Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. Good afternoon today, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Good afternoon, Evan and Pete. Guys, I'm in the film industry, and let me say something. There's more false information and nonsense, like worse than Bob Nightingale columns. You can't believe anything about a film.
That's awesome.
No, like, believe me, guys. It's all like razzle-dazzle.
So what should we believe then? What should we believe then, Chris?
I think it has to come from like an actual report from the studio or the producers.
Right, so you actually have to see it on Netflix. Like,
yeah.
Coming soon.
Yeah, yeah, like from a more you know, reputable, like the producers are saying this is a done deal. Because otherwise, they're trying to get the public excited about it and gauge interest. That's what I think.
It's a fair point, bro.
That makes sense, honestly.
Hey, Evan, by the way, I'm excited to see who's going to do the Cinco today. I don't know if it's been determined, but I'll be listening. And I did want to mention in the Met game and get your take on this. Evan, I know you saw who played center field yesterday for the Mets and made a diving catch, but I wanted to see what you and Tiki thought of that. Do you think there's something behind it or just it's a 7-1 game?
Well, just to set up what happened, because there is no chance Tiki Barber was up after midnight in
not.
A game in which the Mets were losing 7-1 in the bottom of the eighth inning.
You're right, but even though we are not on SNY today, SNY is always on in this studio.
Right.
And for the last 2 hours, I've been watching the Mets game.
So you saw what they did in the bottom of the eighth inning?
I did. They put Luis Angel Acuña in center field.
He made
a nice running, diving catch.
Right out of the gate. So last night, obviously, Soto gets hurt. They replace him with Tyrone Taylor, who then quickly gets pinch hit for with Starling Marte. And then late in the game, once the game is kind of out of reach, Mendy went to Luis Angel Acuña in center field. Now, months ago, I thought Luis Angel Acuña would be the Mets center fielder.
Yeah.
I thought that was his best way of playing, and for whatever reason, Mendy didn't play him. I asked Mendy at one point, how come you don't trust Luis Angel Acuña in center? And he said, it's not that I don't trust him. I do. And I said, well, why don't you play him? And his answer was, well, it just hasn't been an opportunity. So finally, he played him out there. He made one diving catch, which was nice to see. As far as what I think, I don't think they're just showing him off to trade him. I think it's possible they do trade him.
Yeah.
But I think that the Mets in that spot just wanted to save an inning out of Starling Marte. And I think with Soto out and having already used Tyrone Taylor, I think it was Mendy's way of saying, you know what, let me save Marte's body. I do kind of trust Acuña in center, not enough to play him there very often. Let me just put him out there. So I don't think there's that much to read into it.
Yeah, don't forget. I mean, we forget. I almost did until, you know, you go back and look at it. Marte was out for a knee issue right before the All-Star
break. And hasn't played the field since, by the way.
Exactly. Hasn't been out there. So you know he, even though he pinch hit, he wasn't going to be, you know, asked to play out in center field. And this is only the second time that Acuña has been in center field?
Yes. That's my point. They haven't played him out there.
Right. Last time was against Pittsburgh back on May 14th.
And it was brief, too. It was not a start. Brief. It was a few innings.
Yes, that's right.
So they haven't really trusted him with center field. I don't think this means anything. I don't think it was to trade him. I think it was the circumstances of Soto getting hurt, them using Taylor after one inning, and then getting Starling Marte off of his feet.
Surviving the game. That's what this was.
Yeah. Now, I've always been intrigued by him. And watching him make a diving catch only makes me more intrigued by him. Because if he's a good defender, I'd like to see him out there.
Right. It's just a lot of space to cover for a guy who's of his stature.
I know, but he's fast, man.
He is. He is.
He can run balls down. I think, I'm going to give you a prediction. We are 26 hours away from the trade deadline. There's a prediction, just using my noggin. Evan Roberts' brain reports, which his percentage of success is not that high.
No,
right?
50-50.
50-50?
Yeah.
I think the Mets are going to acquire Luis Robert Jr. I do. And I think that Luis Angel Acuña Jr. is going to be one of the... Luis Angel Acuña Jr. Luis Angel Acuña. Ronald Acuña Jr. got hurt last night.
Yeah.
I think Luis Angel Acuña is going to be a part of the deal. I think they will add a center fielder. I think they like the controllability of Robert, the youth of Robert, the defense of Robert, even the potential that we sort of seen from Robert Jr. And I do think they're going to get him. That's my prediction. But it won't be for Mark Vientos.
No. Mark Vientos seems to be no longer the prime trade candidate for the Mets. It's now Acuña.
Well, no, I think he would be traded in a different deal. I don't think they would do Vientos for Robert Jr. Like, I think if Duran is a real possibility.
Why not?
What do you mean, why not?
Why would they? Because it isn't the idea that they want Vientos?
I think they want Vientos. I just don't think they would trade him for Robert Jr. It's just the player I'm talking about. It's just that particular piece back. I think Duran is good enough. And, you know, obviously a high-leverage closer who's, I think if the Twins insisted on Vientos, they would do it. Now, speaking of the Twins, we got a call yesterday from random listener trade idea about Carlos Correa.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of steam now on Carlos Correa being traded back to the Astros. The holdup is money, and we talked about this yesterday. He's due a lot of money. He's been unhealthy. I also don't think Carlos Correa or the Mets would ever get together based on the contract dispute from a few years ago. Astros are a horse of a different color.
Right.
My question is this. Forget the Mets. If the Astros acquire Carlos Correa, Sean, does it make it spicy again? Because the Astros right now, they feel like a different team. Correa's evil, bro.
There are a couple key ingredients, but there is no doubt. Altuve and Correa are the salt and pepper. So, yes. On a mere surface, it would be spicy, for sure.
That's what I thought.
It's not Springer, it's not Bregman, but those are the main two cogs.
This was the first time this offseason that I felt the Astros were different. Like, it's just like, they're just not the same at all. It's Jose Altuve, they were moving him to the outfield. It was like, they are not the same. And even last year, you guys would argue this with me. Sean, not you guys. I don't think Tommy argued this. That, well, it's a different manager, everything's different. They're not the same. They felt the same until recently. If they got Correa back...
Right.
I don't know, man. I think it would rekindle the Astros stuff.
I guess.
You guess?
They're still good. So it's not like I'm saying they're not the same team, but they're not. It doesn't feel like that.
The Yankees' biggest problem.
I don't feel that, though. I can see why it's familiar, but I don't feel that that's the crux of the issue. I think the issue is still Altuve.
So you think
feels so diminished.
Right.
It doesn't feel like that's much the threat they used to. You know what I mean? I know I'm not saying they're not a good team. It just, the issue's different. Doesn't feel the same to me.
But bringing Correa back, I think, would bring it back.
I don't think you can answer that until you actually get in the series.
You got to feel it?
Yeah. You got to feel it. You do. Right now, I honestly think the Yankees' biggest rival is the Yankees.
So it's hard for me to say.
Well,
it's the Astros.
We've talked in the past, not even related to something like this. Just, hey, who are the Yankees' biggest rivals? We had a whole discussion about that, whether it was the Mets now, it was the Dodgers, or we didn't even mention the Blue Jays at the time, but sure, the Blue Jays. Is it still the Red Sox? Like, we had a lot of discussions about it, and the Astros were always still kind of hanging around. I don't know, man, if they brought Correa back, and remember, they play not this weekend, but next weekend at Yankee Stadium. Can you imagine the electricity at Yankee Stadium? Yankees, Astros. Astros have a good record, and it's not only F. Altuve. Here's Correa walking through that door.
It would make sense for old-timers that have Correa there.
He's not even that old, bro. He just feels old. I get a sense it's going to happen. Now, Tiki's in the Mets text chat, and I bring them up because they had a really good idea. I don't want Carlos Correa for the Mets. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. You'd agree with that, right, Tommy? Not interested?
Not interested.
Okay, so we're on the same page. Could Steve Cohen get involved in a Twins-Astros trade in which the Mets get Duran, right? Because that's who I want. And they throw money to pay off part of Correa's contract to get him to Houston.
So the only reason the Mets are involved here is because they're able to offset some of the contract, which the Twins don't want to do.
So the Astros and the Twins don't want to do it. Like, the Astros don't want to pay Correa's full deal. The Twins probably don't want to pay off of it. The Mets are a big market team who wants someone else in this trade, namely Joan Duran. Could the Mets be the third team that sends a prospect to Minnesota, but also somehow, I don't know if this is allowed.
I'm literally just throwing money into the middle of the deal.
You're throwing money in the middle of the deal that really goes to Houston to pay for Correa. We get Duran. And Tommy, like this, we just made the Astros better.
Is that even legal? Like, can you do that?
It's a creative idea, though, right?
It is, of course. It's a three-team trade. And so it sounds interesting, but that just sounds so shady. Like, this deal can't get done because the Astros and the Twins can't decide on who's going to pay the majority of Carlos Correa's contract. And then the Mets just come along. We got money. Here you go. It doesn't make any sense.
I guess the simpler way to do it is to trade for Carlos Correa with Duran. Mets and Twins make a trade. And then simultaneously, the Mets call up Houston and say, okay, we're going to pick up, you know, 20% of the salary to offset. And you guys get Carlos Correa and, you know, we get a bag of balls. That's how you pull this off. I'm just thinking of a way where Steve Cohen can use his wallet to get Joan Duran, who doesn't make a lot of money. It's not a money trade.
No.
But can he use his money to get involved?
To get a great player.
And get a great,
potentially.
Right. Player. And what's funny is that's how the Mets got Diaz. Because they took on Cano's contract. Now, I don't want to take on Correa's contract. I just want to help the Astros get Correa. And then we get Duran. I don't see any issue with this brilliant idea. That isn't even mine. It's the Mets text chat. I give my friend Adam Eaton a lot of credit. Very creative idea by Adam Eaton.
I don't want to be a party pooper, though. Correa does have a no trade veto. He can veto it. So it would have to be one of those situations
He's already said
he would waive it for Houston.
But he's going to the Mets. So
no,
in theory,
he's going to Houston.
No, but if he gets traded to the Mets, Carlos would have to agree to the trade to the Mets, knowing the fact that this is like fantasy baseball.
Yes!
Knowing the fact that a gentleman's agreement that he's going to get sent to the Astros.
Yes! That's easy. If Carlos knows he's going to Houston, which he's already said he's good with, then of course he'd waive it to be a Met for 30 seconds.
Now, do we think Carlos has any bad feelings about what happened with the Mets?
I do, but that's irrelevant because the Mets aren't acquiring him.
Yeah, they're just facilitating him getting back to Houston.
They're using their wallet to facilitate
picking up the tab.
Right, and with that bringing down the cost on Duran, because one thing I'm reading about with Duran, and it's Bob Nightingale, so you got to be a little skeptical, is that Minnesota's asking the Phillies for Andrew Painter. Now, Andrew Painter is like a top 10 prospect in baseball at Tommy John recently. That's a lot.
Right.
Like, the equivalent would be asking the Mets for Jonah Tong. And I don't think the Mets would be willing to do that. So I'd love to use money as a reason to bring down the price. All right, a couple of things. Number one, my sister, who started this whole thing and made me feel bad for even suggesting that she wasn't right about The Wedding Singer 2 being a real movie, has texted me. She is now convinced it's fake.
Oh,
so she started the whole thing.
Typical Panther fan. Yeah.
Number two, Chris Big Mac McMonagle has chimed in on the Carlos Correa to the Astros discussion.
And?
This is part of Big Mac, what makes him special.
He'd be pissed.
He wants Correa in Houston because he wants revenge.
Oh, and he wants, after they lose, to make excuses for the regime.
But he is kind of right. Like, in this world where you get to play Houston, it would make it sweeter if Carlos Correa is on that losing team.
Okay, yeah, like in the 9% chance that happens, sure. Yeah, that'd be sweet.
He's a beaten down Yankee fan over there. That's for damn sure. We'll get to your calls next, 888-808-1019. Plus, what kind of trade would really move the needle? What kind of trade would actually be like headline news besides these reliever additions? Like, what's the trade that would be the Cespedes or the David Justice of 2025? We'll try to come up with the answer.